Air America Radio News, I'm Bill Crowley. 15 to nothing. The UN Security Council has adopted a resolution calling for an end to the fighting between Israel and Hezbollah. The vote was unanimous, 15 to none. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice cast the vote for the United States. The resolution authorizes sending 15,000 UN peacekeepers to help Lebanese troops take control of southern Lebanon as Israeli troops withdraw. Before the vote, Israeli Prime Minister Ehud Olmert said that he accepted the resolution. Olmert will recommend his government approve the deal in its regular meeting on Sunday. Gideon Meir, a senior official in the Israeli Foreign Ministry, says the military offensive in Lebanon may continue for the time being. The expanded ground offensive Israel had been staging in southern Lebanon had been put on hold to allow UN diplomats time to work out a ceasefire deal. British authorities have now released one of the terror suspects arrested in connection with the alleged plot to blow up commercial airliners heading for the U.S. 19 of the 24 arrested were identified. Authorities are not saying if this unidentified person who's been released is still a suspect. Meanwhile, Pakistan says they're holding what officials call a key person in this alleged plot. Pakistan's Interior Ministry says the man is a British national with ties to Al-Qaeda, and they say he is one of the at least seven suspects being held in Pakistan. A federal appeals court today said police can conduct random searches of bags in the New York City subway system. Police started that program in July of last year after the deadly bombings in London's transit system. The New York Civil Liberties Union filed suit to stop the program. It called the searches an unprecedented intrusion on privacy and says they're ineffective. The New York subway system, the nation's largest. In the court ruling, the justices said terrorists view it as a prime target. The court also said the searches have proven reasonably effective. On his 80th birthday on Sunday, Fidel Castro expected to be in bed recovering from intestinal bleeding and surgery. Several days of parties and concerts have been planned for Castro, but some have now been pushed back until December. Top officials say recently Castro is recuperating, and he should, they say, be back to work in upcoming weeks. However, there are skeptics, anti-Castro groups, who say his health situation may be a lot worse. This is Air America Radio News.
the world stops on Friday, and I start having me a ball.
Start spreading the news. I'm leaving today. I want to be part of it. New York, New York. These vagabond shoes are longing to stray right through the very heart of it, New York, New York.
Oh, Kathy's so cool with the music. Good evening, Truth Seekers. Malloy here on Air America Radio. The reason she's playing Sinatra's New York, New York, we have some good news for us, and I hope for folks in New York. We are coming back to New York City. Air America Radio has offered me a contract, a renewal of the 2 years that I have been with this network, and it includes being on the airwaves in New York City beginning September 1st. Ironically, on September 1st, I won't be hosting my own program. I'll be substituting for Randy Rhodes. That's a Friday. But to O'Reilly and Hannity and Bortz and all the other little prick-a-mice and prophets of Air America Radio's doom, I only have this to say, yeah, 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 you know, bite me. Oh, Air America's going to die! And what happened a couple of weeks ago? Randy signed a 4-year contract. Our contract appears to be going to be multi-year. So, you know, just to hell with these people. They keep trying to write the obituary for Air America. And what they need to do is focus on their own internal fascist and forget about the sane people over here at Air America. But it is good news to us because we have missed. Oh, have we missed. Having that New York audience just wacky as hell and one that we really love. So starting September 1st, we'll be back on WWLR 1600. What is it?
Well, it's WWRL, I believe.
Oh, WWRL 1600 on the AM dial. So play a little more of that. I love Sinatra. Jesus, that's what we ought to do this weekend. Let's go to the drive-in. Put the kid asleep. Play a couple hours of Sinatra and watch Pirates of the Caribbean, right?
Or melting away. I'm gonna make a brand new start of it. In old New York. And if I can make it there, I'm gonna make it anywhere. It's up to you.
I like Chicago too, you know, from Guys and Dolls. Is that from Guys and Dolls, Chicago?
Yeah, but we're not on in that market.
No, that's true. That's true. Oh well.
I only play theme songs for cities where we actually broadcast.
Do you have anything for Austin, Texas?
I'll look.
Joining us in a few minutes, we've invited him back on, Dr. Roger Libby, author and sex therapist, to once again talk about his book. And it's not because, like I said on the little mini blog for the program tonight, I'm not trying to avoid completely the issues that need to be talked about. But Roger cracks me up. He's a good guy. I've known him for 25 years. He has a book out about teen sex. It's very difficult for Roger to get any media play because it's about teen sex. It's about responsible teen sex. Responsible teen sex in Dr. Libby's mind is, in the first place, don't do it. But if you do do it, for God's sake, know what you're doing and know how to prevent STDs and pregnancy and all sorts of evil, nasty stuff. Roger believes that teenagers can find other ways to satisfy their sexual urges short of intercourse, and they should take advantage of it. What Roger, first time I heard him refer to the term as self-pleasuring, I just about lost my lunch. Self-pleasuring. Well, yay, yay, yay. What?
Well, I'll never forget the first time I met Dr. Libby, and he asked me how my orgasms were.
Yeah, well, Roger is just an absolute hoot and a half. He's been real serious lately, putting the book out, and then realizing once he got the book out that he was going to be essentially blacklisted because of the subject matter, responsible teen sex. So, anyway, we've invited him back on. He used to host a program here in Atlanta on Sunday nights, a two-hour radio show with a wild and crazy co-host, and they were on 99X here in Atlanta, which was the top contemporary rock station. None of this oldie crap. I mean, these people were cutting-edge rock, and on Sunday nights, we'd have Roger on. And if you listen to that show and just hear phone call after phone call after phone call of young people calling in with honest-to-God questions, I'm not talking about this prurient horse crap or love lines or anything. This is real, the real deal. This is real stuff. Teenagers looking for information about their bodies, about themselves, about their sexuality. Whether it was homo or hetero, it really didn't make any difference. It was something to be dealt with. And the odd thing, here in Atlanta, the Buckle of the Bible Belt, every time the Arbitron ratings came out, Roger's little two-hour show would dominate. He would have double digits. Now, for any of you who understand Arbitron ratings, you know, in a city like Atlanta where there are 45 radio stations, if you get a 7 or an 8 share, you're doing good. Roger would come up with 18s, 19s. I mean, it was unbelievable. And he should be on the radio now, but he can't get a gig because of his because the tenor and tempo of the way things are now. He lives in the Seattle area, and it's a shame that he can't get on a Seattle radio station, but he can't. So, or any place else, and that's a damn shame because not only is he entertaining, but he has some important stuff for teenagers. It's young, you know, 20-somethings, single people. But mostly teens who are just becoming aware of their sexuality. So we're going to have him on again tonight. And also, next hour, one of our favorite people, Greg Palast, will check in with us for a while about yesterday's terror in the sky, as MSNBC puts it. I hate these evil bastards, these television networks who try to brand terror the way they tried to brand the war in Iraq, both of them. You know, with the drums and the dark graphics and the blood red images and Jesus, like it's a new show coming out for the fall lineup. They just make me very, very pissed off. But I know they do you too, right? So Roger Libby's coming up in a few minutes, and then Greg Palast next hour. In the meantime, tonight, we'd like to hear from you as much as you want to call in tonight. 866-303-2270 is the number here. Something caught my two stories caught my eye because my senior correspondent out in Minnesota sent it to me. Here's the first story. Two southern states in India banned the sale of soft drinks produced by Coca-Cola and Pepsi day before yesterday after an environmental group said it had found pesticides in both products. The state of Kerala announced a blanket ban on the production and distribution of the two soft drinks. In a neighboring state, Karnataka banned these two drinks, Coke and Pepsi, from schools, colleges, and hospitals. They found that an average pesticide residue in 57 samples of Coke and Pepsi that was 24 times higher than limits allowed by the Bureau of Indian Standards, which I guess is similar to our, EPA, or I don't know, Bureau of Indian Standards. But pesticide residue in these drinks, 24 times higher than the limits allowed by the government. One of the chief ministers in the state of Kerala said there are lots of reports which prove these drinks have certain ingredients that are harmful to the human body. And last week, the Indian Coke and Indian Pepsi said, no, our drinks are safe. And both companies held consumer safety at just the highest level. Karnataka's primary and secondary education minister said, these drinks have a bad effect on children's health. That's why we have banned them from schools. And the finding of the pesticide residue was just kind of the icing on the cake. All right, now that's the first story. That was from Thursday, August 10th. Wait till you hear the story from today, August 11th, from India. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
The point of commercials is, of course, to get you to do something. For example, we'd like you to go to Geico.com and get a free rate quote. But if you're still not reaching for your mouse, at least do this for me. Call a friend who has Geico and ask some questions. Can Geico really save me that much money? Is their claim service as good as, well, they claim? Are they really available 24/7? Once you get your answers, we'll be right here.
Go to Geico.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15%.
Pet owners praise it. The hotel staff loves it. Parents rave about it. Allergy sufferers applaud it. Senior citizens are agog about it. Now it's your turn. Hi, I'm David Orrick. Everybody's singing the praises of my 8-pound Orrick XL because it's the best vacuum that ever touched their floors. Try one risk-free for 30 days. Call 1-800-989-4200. 1-800-989-4200.
Hey, neocons, don't be afraid. Be very afraid. It's Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
Twenty-one past the hour. All right. Two health ministers in two states in India report pesticide residue 24 times higher than the limits allowed by the Bureau of Indian Standards in Coke and Pepsi, which would lead the other states in India to, or the government of India, I should say, to start doing their own sampling, because this is serious business. They've already, a lot of schools have banned both Coke and Pepsi because of its negative effects on the health of children in the schools. And in so many instances where children in India who are not, and of course they exist to a large extent, who do not receive the correct number of calories in their diet, or the right sort of diet, and then to load up on sugar and the poisons that you find in Coke and Pepsi, in addition to the pesticide residue. It's insane. So that's the first story. That was August 10th, yesterday. August 11th, today. The U.S. Embassy in India's capital warned today that foreign militants, possibly Al-Qaeda members, may be planning to carry out bombings in two major Indian cities in the coming days. An email sent to American citizens registered with the embassy said New Delhi, the capital, and Bombay, it's actually Mumbai, the country's financial and entertainment hub, were the targets of the alleged plot, and that the attacks were believed to be planned around India's Independence Day, which falls on August 15th. Indian Home Ministry officials said they had received no notice of the possible plot. Home Secretary D.K. Dugal suggested the warning innocuous, saying it was an internal embassy matter. The U.S. Embassy's warning for India said, quote, the likely targets include major airports, key central Indian government offices, and major gathering places such as hotels and markets, where these evil little funny-talking bastards won't allow us to sell Coke and Pepsi. No, I just added that last part. It urged American citizens to maintain a low profile, be alert and attentive to their surroundings between August 11th and August 16th. I guess on August 10th, that would be today, you don't have to be alert, or yesterday, who knows. Security around India has already been beefed up because of the coming Independence Day celebrations, a time of year when militants from the country's myriad regional separatist movements often launch attempts. So Chris found it rather the juxtaposition of these two stories intriguing, and I agree. On Thursday, Coke and Pepsi had their ass handed to them, and on Friday, there's a terrorist threat. Jesus God. Oh, it's so easy to hate these people. Mike, can you mention this protest announcement to all your Phoenix, Arizona listeners? We'll be protesting Cheney's visit to Phoenix next Tuesday morning. This comes from Rich in Phoenix. The protest will commence at 10 a.m. and at 24th Street and Missouri. They would like things to get set up by 9 a.m. Now, for a $50 contribution, you have the opportunity of disrupting the event from the inside. The Arizona Republican Party sent out a press release. It says, volunteer with the Arizona GOP to attend a luncheon with Vice President Cheney at a special low price. Your chance to volunteer and attend luncheon with Vice President Cheney for a special low price. The Arizona Republican Party is offering lunch with Vice President Dick Cheney on Tuesday, August 15th, for every person who makes 200 phone calls at the local Republican Party field office and contributes $50 to the Arizona Republican Party. Each person must make 200 phone calls and contribute $50 by 4 p.m. Saturday, August 12th, to be eligible for the luncheon. This is Don Pardo inviting you to lunch with the Vice President. It'll be held at the Arizona Biltmore Resort, MacArthur Ballroom, 2400 East Missouri Avenue, Phoenix, Arizona. Remarks with the Vice President, 12:30 p.m., lunch to follow. P.S. Please allow sufficient time for security. Oh, P.P.S. All guests must have photo ID to enter the event, and all bags, briefcases, and purchases are subject to search PPPS. Any of you lousy, rotten the Democratic liberals try to get in, we will actually beat the piss out of you. But do come and join us. $50 and 200 phone calls, and you get to sit with Dick Cheney and listen to a real fascist speak English.
And you might want to wear your bulletproof vest just in case he gets trigger-happy and spots a dove in the back of the room.
Anyway, Rich, who sent me this, would like to invite people. 9 a.m., 24th and Missouri Street in Phoenix. I'm not familiar with Phoenix, so I would imagine that's near the convention center. No? Whatever. You guys know where it is. 24th and Missouri. Be there at 9 o'clock in the morning. The protest begins at 10. I guess at 9 o'clock is when they suit you up to protect you from the rubber bullets, the tear gas, and the middle fingers that will definitely be raised your way as other Phoenix citizens go about their business of supporting fascism. We'll be right back. I'm Mike Malloy.
I don't hear liberals talking to me. I don't see things their way. Yeah, I'm on the right side.
This is the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Are you losing your hair? Fight back with Avacor. Now with Boost, which gives you visibly thicker hair with the first application.
I'm 20 years old and I've been losing my hair for 3 years. I started using Avacor and my hair stopped falling out. It's working.
Well, I'm 72 years old, and I can tell you honestly, I have a fuller, healthier head of hair now than I did when I was 18 years old. Avacor really worked.
Whether you're 20, 72, or any age in between, Avacor works. And Avacor with Boost will improve your hair's appearance the same day you receive your order. Call now, and you can get 3 months of Avacor free with your order. Plus, a free gift from Avacor's hair care line of products. Call 1-800-884-6270. That's 1-800-884-6270. This is a limited time offer, so call right now. 1-800-884-6270. That's 1-800-884-6270.
Hello?
Opportunity calling.
I thought you knocked.
That's a cliche.
What do you have?
An opportunity to win.
What's it called?
Sony Card Wish It Win It.
So first I wish?
And then you have a chance to win.
Win what?
$10,000 worth of Sony Entertainment.
That's huge.
That's Sony Card Wish It Win It.
What do I do now?
Go to SonyCardWin.com/experience to create your personal wish list.
I wish for Sony electronics, CDs, DVDs, and games.
Go now.
Can't wait.
There's a Sony Card winner each month.
So there's a chance?
That you'll be the one.
To wish and then win?
That's why it's called Wish It, Win It from Sony Card. The card that earns points towards Sony rewards with every use. Go to SonyCardWin.com/experience. No purchase necessary. Offer ends 12/31/06. Void where prohibited. Open only to U.S. residents 18 or older as of date of entry. Odds of winning depend on number of entries. For official rules and alternative method of entry, go to SonyCardWin.com. Sponsored by Sony Electronics, Inc. And remember, life's more entertaining with Sony Card.
United States is looking forward to eating Indian mangoes.
It's about 25 before the hour. Roger Libby, Dr. Roger Libby, joins us now from Seattle. Roger, welcome to the program again.
Roger? Pleased to be on.
Say it again.
I'm pleased to be with you, Mike.
How you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
How's your weather in Seattle?
It's sunny today. Very nice. I just hate to hear all this news about war in the Middle East, Mike. And I think about that cross-cultural study I did years ago where I found an inverse relationship between sex and violence. Wherever you...
The book?
Oh, it's The Naked Truth About Sex and a Guide to Intelligent Sexual Choices for Teenagers and 20-somethings.
How are book sales going? How's the book tour going? What? Get this clear real quick. It's not like Dr. Laura. Yours is actually in sociology.
Yes. I've been a sex researcher most of my life.
Right. And, oh, really?
I mean, I do sex research as well as education.
When I knew you here in Atlanta, you were a sex researcher?
Well, I mean, when I was a professor, especially before that, yeah.
Oh, because you never gave me the questionnaire.
Yeah, well, you know. But I did that big cross-cultural study, and, yeah, I'm still a researcher as well as an educator and a therapist.
You sound kind of serious tonight. What's the matter?
Well, I'm kind of irritated because there's a new book, not new, it's 1999, that's selling for $3.18 at Amazon by a Catholic nun, Mike, and it's called Sex and the Teenager, and it's absolutely misrepresenting the book. The title.
Wait a minute. It's written by a nun? And
it's called Sex
and the Teenager? And it was written in when?
1999, and all of a sudden it's selling on Amazon for $3.18. And it's ridiculous because it sounds like, if you look at the cover, it sounds like an objective book.
Right.
But when you look at what she's writing, it's just pushing
out. Don't touch it! Your hands will fall off!
Right.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Why does that have you pissed off? Or not pissed off, but upset? Or you sound, like I said, you sound kind
of... Well, it upsets me because I think that, you know, her book is not going to get censored. And ours is because we present an option to abstinence. We present a way to be educated about sex and to practice safer sex and to enjoy sex.
All right. Let's supposing you had a teenager like on the phone like you did when you were a 99X here in Atlanta, and and someone said to you right now, "Well, Dr. Libby, I'm 16, and I'm horny as hell. What do I do about my sex drive?" And let's say this is it. Let's say it's a boy. I'm a 16-year-old boy or young man, and I have this powerful sex drive. What should I do, Dr. Libby?
Well, what I indicate is that I think you should date. You should go out and have fun. You can make out and pet and dry hump and have oral sex. But I recommend they wait till they're out of high school to have intercourse because most of them are having a lot of problems from it with STDs and unwanted pregnancies and emotional problems. But most of them aren't waiting. I mean, we know that 70% of high school kids have intercourse by the time they graduate.
Mm-hmm.
And yet you look at Mike, even today's media, MSNBC, ABC News, all these places, and they report the CDC's research indicating that there's a decline in intercourse. So what they're doing is showing age, grade 9 to 12 from 1991 to 2005. And if you look at those grades, yes, there's a decline in intercourse. But what they don't say is the age of intercourse is just being put off, which I think is good. And for high school seniors, there's actually an increase by 2% up to 63%, and that's before they graduate, which is more like 70%.
Mm-hmm.
And they also don't report that 63% of them used condoms at the last intercourse. They want to emphasize the negative aspects.
Mm-hmm. So your book, of course, is I think is pretty much value neutral in terms of how you present the choices, the options, and how to have responsible sex play until you're emotionally or physically ready for sexual intercourse.
Right. I mean, I'm sex positive, but I don't say all people should make the same choices.
Right, but I mean value neutral. You're not putting any value on anything. You do go after the religious right, and rightly so.
Yeah,
But I don't think you're not an advocate. That's the point I'm trying to make.
I'm not advocating that everybody have sex before they. I mean, I'm saying they need to be sexual as far as like masturbation and being responsible. But I don't think they need to be crazy. No.
Mm-hmm. What in the research that you did for this book, what is the biggest problem right now, if there is a single biggest problem? I'm sure there's several, but what do you see as one of the single biggest problems regarding their sexuality that kids have to deal with today?
Well, I think the lack of education. I mean, they don't have enough guidance from the schools or their parents. They don't have good communication with their parents, and that's one of the things I advocate in this book, and I make suggestions about is how to improve that communication.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that the high schools, especially maybe middle schools, should have I don't know. This sounds rather quaint. I guess there's no such thing as a school nurse anymore. But when I was in high school 1,000 years ago, there was a school nurse, and there was occasion. It was mostly girls who went to talk to the nurse about maybe their first period, or and I'm not talking about homeroom. Mm-hmm. Making out in the drive-in back seat with her boyfriend. They would talk to the school nurse. Does that sort of thing still exist?
Well, yeah. I mean, school nurses and school guidance counselors have to deal with all this. The problem is that, except for the nurses, they're not really prepared to deal with it very much. And even the nurses are kind of limited by the school boards and what they do, you know.
Mm-hmm. So a kid can't really get a high school kid or a middle school kid right now can't get good advice. Is that sexual advice?
That's basically the case, with a few exceptions. And I think in some private high schools there are exceptions. But, yeah, that's basically the case.
Do you think that providing such a service to kids in the public school system, do you think that would be received by the parents as something positive?
Well, yeah. Most parents want kids to be responsible, and they're not going to oppose having condoms available through the school nurse or whatever. And they're not going to oppose an open approach to sex education. It's just that the schools are afraid of the minority of parents that are so vociferous about opposing it.
Mm-hmm. Do you see a connection? I know you said just a second ago you referenced your studies, but do you see a connection between some of this horrific global violence that's occurring right now and sexual repression or misdirection or something? Is there any connection?
Absolutely. I mean, there is, Mike. I mean, we know, it's not just from my own research, it's other studies as well. Wherever you try to repress sex and you don't educate people about it and you just keep them in the dark, you're going to end up with aberrant behavior. You're going to end up with incest. You're going to end up with exploitation. You're going to end up with a lot of behavior that's not normal and not productive, and that's what's happened in our culture.
Can that lead, though, to and I'm not trying to goof on you here, can that lead to war?
Well, yeah, because wherever you really repress sex a lot, look at the Muslim world. I mean, they repress sex so far that women are not regarded at all, and even men are not supposed to be sexual. Well, there's no question that that leads to rape and other problems with sex. I mean, there's just no question about that.
You say Muslims. Could the same thing be applied to other conservative religions?
Absolutely, Mike. Whether it's a traditional Christian right-wing religion or Muslims or any right-wing religion that tries to repress sex, you're going to end up with a real problem, and that it means violence, and of course on a macro scale it means war.
Do you get into the connection between religious suppression and sexuality in your book?
I do, but not a great deal. It's not the focus of the book, but I do get into it some. And the foreword was by Nadine Strozin, where she talks about
The ACLU.
The president of the ACLU,
right,
where she talks about how kids have constitutional rights to information, and they are citizens. And we have this idea that parents own kids. That comes from the religious right, and it's not true. Not mm-hmm. legally, it's not.
Mm-hmm. I've known you for 25 years.
Yeah, you've known me a long time.
So this question, I know, I pretty much know what your answer would be. Mm-hmm. But now you have a son and a daughter. How do you and they're young? How do you advise? Mm-hmm. How do you advise your son and your daughter right now?
Well, they're only 10 and 12 at this point, so certainly they get a basic.
But they're in that middle. They're in that middle school.
He's getting into the middle school.
Right.
When they get into the age range where they're really interested in sex, of course we're going to educate them about it at home and the schools. That they don't do much. I mean, I'll tell you what they got in fifth grade. They emphasize the dangers of AIDS before they even tell them what sex is, which is just really dangerous and unhealthy.
Why is that? Why is that dangerous and unhealthy?
Because it's telling kids that sex is something to fear. It's not something to really enjoy or to see as a conduit for love. It's something to fear. And that's a terrible thing, to tell somebody that something that's an integral part of them is something to fear.
Mm-hmm. So in a better presentation, it would be an explanation of sex and then get into some of the side effects of irresponsible sex.
Right, exactly, of course. I mean, who's irresponsible here? It's that nun that wrote the book Sex and the Teenager. She's the one who's irresponsible. She's not educating kids about sex. She's indoctrinating them with a philosophy that's not going to be followed anyway, and it's going to leave them unprepared to deal with sex, which they have to do.
Yeah, but that's why God created nuns.
Oh, well.
All right, yeah. Roger, we got to take a break here. I think we have to take. Is it time to take a break? About 15 seconds. Can you stick around?
Oh, sure, of course. I'd stay here all night if you wanted me to.
If anybody has a question for Roger, if you want to do it real quick, you haven't taken phone questions.
Yeah, so. I was hoping we could do that.
All right, since you were on the air here in Atlanta. If you have a phone question, and no goofing around now, I mean serious questions, it's a serious book. Roger writes it in kind of there are parts of it that are playful and kind of lighthearted, but this is it's a definite topic. So if you have a question, maybe you have a kid that you're dealing with, that kid's latent or nascent or emerging sexuality, and you want to ask a question, give us a call. What the hell? 866-303-2270. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Real people are sharing their good news about Aleve.
My name is Art Bivens, and this is my story. I have a folk group called Cool Old Dudes.
As I was going over Kilgara Mountain.
I have arthritis in my fingers. It makes it very hard to press down on the strings. Our bass player said, man, you got to try some Aleve. Just to shut Eric up, I tried the Aleve, and he was right. I'm back in the game. I can play guitar again.
Real people, real stories, real good news. Share your good news at AleveGoodNews.com. Use as directed for minor arthritis pain.
If you want someone to tell you what you want to hear, we're not the place. But if you want someone to tell it like it is, come to Match.com.
You need to start making some different decisions and embracing some different strategies to get what you want.
Match.com is working with Dr. Phil, and our members are loving his insight. We'll show you who. He'll show you how. So come see what Match.com can do for you. Match.com, the number one site for love.
Here in Washington, we're now determining the size and the shape of a package. It's not if we have a package, it's how big will the package be.
We don't edit anything, we just play it. Our guest is Dr. Roger Libby, whose book is out right now. What's the title again, Roger?
The Naked Truth About Sex, A Guide to Intelligent Sexual Choices for Teenagers and 20-somethings from Freedom Press.
Good God, that's a long title.
Well, Freedom Press is not in the title.
Yeah. All right. Where can people buy it?
Amazon, Barnes & Noble, freedompress.online.com.
Wait a minute. Freedom Press?
Online.com.
Online.com. Freedompressonline.com.
Yeah.
I think most of our listeners would rather not deal with a major bookseller and go right to your publisher. That would be great. Freedompressonline.com. All right. Let's take some phone calls for Dr. Libby. Cassie is calling from Texas. Cassie's 14, Roger. Cassie, welcome to the program.
Hi, Mike.
Hey, Cassie.
Hi, Kathy.
Hi, Roger. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm good. I'm 14, and I'm just starting high school in a few days.
Mm-hmm.
And some of my friends, I write for Powers and Morrison. I'm one of the columnists. And some of my friends on the Powers and Morrison chat room, they think that people my age should always have condoms with us,
mm-hmm.
that I should, even though I don't have a boyfriend yet, and I'm not, dating anybody, and I'm, had like 2 dates in my whole life, that I should have condoms.
Well, I think that's a little overkill. I think at your age and you don't have a guy you're even dating, that seems a little premature. However, when you're a little older and you're more in sexual situations, I would recommend that condoms would be available and that you would conduct pre-sex discussions, which are all explained in my book.
Okay.
Roger, get into that second. Pre-sex discussion, because you're the first person I ever heard say that.
Yeah.
What is a pre-sex discussion?
I believe anybody should talk about sex and what it would mean and whether it's a good idea and try to make a decision together rather than just trying to go with a typical line kind of approach and outmaneuver each other and play a game, because that's a dangerous game. And what happens is people end up with hurt feelings and STDs and unwanted pregnancies.
So the best time to have that pre-sex discussion is not when you're stoned or half drunk or in the excitement of dancing and carrying on having a good time.
Mm-hmm.
It's when.
I think it's when you recognize that there's an attraction and a possibility that you would have a sexual relationship. You start to discuss it, and you discuss any guidelines or stopping points or whatever for your age to so that you're responsible about it and you can still enjoy sex.
All right, Cassie, does that answer?
That answers part of it, but my other question is, where do you get condom? I mean, because,
where do you what?
Saying, where do you get them?
Condom?
They don't have them at school, and somebody said something about free clinics, but
you can get condoms at most health clinics, including Planned Parenthood, and you can also buy them in drugstores. But I would say health clinics like Planned Parenthood are a good idea, because there you can get some education about them and how to use them correctly, and they have them oftentimes for free for kids your age.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Thanks for your call.
In a few years.
Yeah.
Okay, Cassie, way to go. Way to go. All right. You got to love that young lady.
Yeah, I mean, she's at least being responsible and trying to say, what can I do here and what's
That's
appropriate.
Right. That's right. All right, you want to take a question about masturbation?
Absolutely.
All right, Paul is calling from Santa Fe. Paul, welcome to the program.
Hi, Mike and Roger.
Hi.
Hi, I was wondering if maybe there was a problem with right-handed masturbation here, because we've got a problem with extremism, and
by all means, use your left hand. Yeah.
Yeah, sex on the wrong brain,
Yeah, left brain. That's the best one here, right?
Well, the left brain is the logical side.
I know, but you better be logical about sex. You're going to get in trouble with it, right? The right brain is good too, as far as creativity.
That's what I'm saying. Is if you're trying to satisfy the logical side of the brain, you might end up with a real need for certainty and then an extreme reaction to uncertainty.
Mm-hmm.
So if the orgasm is better with the left hand, I mean, maybe should be encouraging kids to switch hands, or at least, not learn sex with the right right?
Yeah. Well, let's not carry this metaphor too far.
Well,
I mean,
we got you, Paul. Thanks, Paul. Thanks. That's a good question, though. I like that question.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, masturbation, though, you know I give it a clean bill of health in my book. I call that chapter Masturbation Puts a Smile on Your Face.
Yeah, well, you're certainly not going to get any STDs or anything weird from, as you call it, self-pleasuring. I got a question for you, and I want to hold you over. We'll come back and do one more segment. Mm-hmm. We got a couple more people want to ask you a couple of questions. So here's my question. It comes from Bob in an email. Is there a correlation between fundamentalist so-called Christian ministers, and he puts quotes around Christian, and predatory sexual practices against children? And then the second part, does American fundamentalism provide a safe haven for sexual predators? So you want to hold on that question
for
a second, and
okay.
we'll pick it up when we come back at the top of the hour. All right, Roger, don't go away.
I won't.
We're going to put you on hold and come right back after the break. Stay with us. I'm Mike Mulley. This is Air America. Right-handed? Left-handed?
Malloy on Air America Radio.
Hi, I'm David Orrick. My 8-pound Orrick XL Ultra has an 8-year guarantee. The reason my warranties are so much stronger is that my American-made vacuums are so much stronger. Orrick XLs clean thousands of hotel rooms every day. 5 years in a hotel is like 50 years in your home. Try one risk-free for 30 days. Call 1-800-989-4200. 1-800-989-4200. You'll still be breaking in an Orrick while other vacuums are broken down.
Hi, is Michael there?
This is?
Okay, my name is Neil.
Yeah.
And we've never actually met before, but I used to own your Volkswagen Jetta.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. I just miss it, you know? And, how is it?
It's great. It's a great car.
Isn't it? It is so great. Let me ask you something. Is it dirty? Because I could wash it.
Feel the pre-love. Certified pre-loved Volkswagens featuring a 112-point inspection. Come take a joyride today.
America Radio News, I'm Bill Crowley, 15 to nothing. The UN Security Council has adopted a resolution calling for an end to the fighting between Israel and Hezbollah. The vote was unanimous, 15 to none. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice cast the vote for the United States. The resolution authorizes sending 15,000 UN peacekeepers to help Lebanese troops take control of southern Lebanon as Israeli troops withdraw. Before the vote, Israeli Prime Minister Ehud Olmert said that he accepted the resolution. Olmert will recommend his government approve the deal in its regular meeting on Sunday. Gideon Meir, a senior official in the Israeli Foreign Ministry, says the military offensive in Lebanon may continue for the time being. The expanded ground offensive Israel had been staging in southern Lebanon had been put on hold to allow UN diplomats time to work out a ceasefire deal. British authorities have now released one of the terror suspects arrested in connection with the alleged plot to blow up commercial airliners heading for the U.S. 19 of the 24 arrested were identified. Authorities are not saying if this unidentified person who's been released is still a suspect. Meanwhile, Pakistan says they're holding what officials call a key person in this alleged plot. Pakistan's Interior Ministry says the man is a British national with ties to Al-Qaeda, and they say he is one of the at least seven suspects being held in Pakistan. A federal appeals court today said police can conduct random searches of bags in the New York City subway system. Police started that program in July of last year after the deadly bombings in London's transit system. The New York Civil Liberties Union filed suit to stop the program. It called the searches an unprecedented intrusion on privacy and says they're ineffective. The New York subway system, the nation's largest. In the court ruling, the justices said terrorists view it as a prime target. The court also said the searches have proven reasonably effective. On his 80th birthday on Sunday, Fidel Castro expected to be in bed recovering from intestinal bleeding and surgery. Several days of parties and concerts have been planned for Castro, but some have now been pushed back until December. Top officials say recently Castro is recuperating, and he should, they say, be back to work in upcoming weeks. However, there are skeptics, anti-Castro groups, who say his health situation may be a lot worse. This is Air America Radio News.
Welcome back. 7 past the hour. A couple more minutes with Dr. Roger Libby here, who is has called in from Seattle. A friend, but beyond that, he's a sociologist who's written a book about teenage and 20-something sex. Having known Roger all these years and having read both the books that he has written, if you have kids or if you are a young person, this book is an almost must-read, especially, and I can't stress this, if you're a parent and you got a kid coming up, you know, 12, 13, 14 years old, and has these questions, maybe you're perfectly capable to handle them. I had a hell of a time with my kids with the sex questions. I don't know why, but it was, you know, kind of awkward. I wish I would have had Roger's book. Not that I would have just said, here, read the book, but it would have made it a lot easier. So if you have a young person, please go to freedompressonline.com and get Roger's book and have them send it to you. It's invaluable. I mean, come on, folks. We live in a very, very weird time. And I'm not just talking about the kinds of weird diseases. I don't want to scare anybody, but you know what I'm talking about. Not only that, but the political atmosphere that we're living in right now is just horrendous where it concerns something as freewheeling in nature's design, not in society, but freewheeling in nature's design is sex. So you get the book. You don't hear me recommend too many books. David Sirota's book, Greg Palast's book, and now Roger Libby's book. So, you know, do it. Anyway, Roger, are you there?
Yeah.
Okay. That first question from Bob, the correlation, if any, between fundamentalist so-called Christian ministers and predatory sexual practices against children. In other words, does American fundamentalism provide a safe haven for these sexual predators?
I would say absolutely, and so does, the Catholic tradition. I mean, we have plenty of evidence for that, but it's also the Christian right-wing Protestant tradition.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're referring to the molestation by the priests.
Yeah.
That is just, apparently it's gone on for centuries.
Many, many years, yeah.
Yeah. All right. Now, another question here via email from Tom in Minneapolis. Does your book in any way deal with the history of sex? In other words, the way the ancients dealt with their bodies before the advent of traditional Christianity?
No. The book is not a historical book. It's a guide for teenagers and those in their early 20s today. And there are some historical references, but it's not a history book, no.
Okay, let's go back to some phone calls here. From Silverton, Oregon, Josh is calling. Hey, Josh.
Hello, Mike. It's a pleasure. And Roger, hello.
Hi, Josh.
My question was, as you mentioned, you would speak to your children when the time was right, and I was kind of curious, when would you recommend is appropriate time, especially with women or young girls going to puberty at a lot younger age?
Well, I think to educate kids as soon as they can understand language and reproduction, to explain it to them is a healthy thing. As far as puberty, of course, you're going to explain a little more after they go through puberty, which some people think is a town near Gastonia, Georgia, but it's not.
How do you bring it up, Roger, or do you let the kid bring it up?
I think parents should bring it up because kids don't always know to bring it up themselves. Now, in the book, I explain if your parents don't bring it up and you're a teenager, here's how you can broach the subject and use some humor and try to get them to become engaged talking about their own history and to help you in your own life.
So there's no hard, fast rule, Josh, for the age. Is that right, Roger?
No, I wouldn't say so.
Okay. Josh, anything else?
Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Josh. I appreciate it. Joe is calling from Miami, Florida. Joe, welcome to the program. Hey, Joe.
How you doing, Mike?
Doing fine.
Doc, one thing about the priest and the nunnery. As a longtime Catholic who went to school until I was 17, I found it covered more for homosexuals and lesbians. The guys who were normal usually left the priesthood after a little while. Anyway, let me ask you a question.
Roger, you're going to let that pass without, you know, I mean, the caller is saying the guys who were normal.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, being gay is as normal as being heterosexual for some people.
I don't mean, you know what I mean, that you would expect to be a teacher, you know, like with the way things are. Anyway, let me ask you something, Doug. I'm going to change my question a little bit. A lot of people are under the impression that length counts the most as far as pleasure for a woman. I'm under the impression it's more girth or width. Am I right?
Yeah, if you're Jewish, it's the net worth, right?
Come on, Roger. We're trying to keep this factual, Roger.
Yeah, one last
is that an anti-Jewish joke? Oh, my God, we get the caller bust the gays and Roger bust the Jews.
That's
Jerry Farber's joke in Atlanta. It's really not mine.
Oh, and he's Jewish, so it doesn't matter. Okay.
Yeah, right.
Last box of condoms I bought was from a grocery store.
Yeah?
Honest to God.
You can buy condoms in some grocery stores. Almost all pharmacies carry them.
Yeah, and there's pharmacies in the grocery store.
Yeah.
Yeah. You need your own show.
I know. I hope to get one again. I mean, I'm looking into it.
Why don't you get a show on this network?
Well, I've been trying, but I haven't gotten any response from the Seattle affiliate station, that's for sure.
No, I mean out of New York, I mean out of the home office, where they put you on the weekends for, 3
hours.
Yeah,
well,
I think it would be a hoot, Roger.
I do, too. Maybe somebody from Air America is listening. I don't know.
Although, again, you do sound kind of serious tonight.
Well, I know, because this Catholic book really put me off, The Sex and the Teenager. I hope everybody listening to the show pans that book at Amazon, you know?
Roger, it sounds like you're trying to organize a protest.
Yeah, I am.
It's 5, 6, 7 years old, this book.
Yeah, but it's selling in the top few thousand books at Amazon.
All right, say the title of yours again.
Sex, my book?
Yeah.
The Naked Truth About Sex, A Guide to Intelligent Sexual Choices for Teenagers and 20-somethings. And I wanted to mention that sexpositivefront.com is promoting me as far as lecturing at colleges, and they're promoting my ideas, and they're great. They found me after I was on your show the last time, Mike.
Now, what's the name of that website?
Sexpositivefront.com.
Sexpositivefront.com.
And also, the Toronto Sun, Valerie Gibson, is doing a column about the book this next week, and Screw Magazine is doing a big feature on it.
And you
helped me get that, right?
Yeah, our good friend Kenny over at Screw Magazine
Kenny,
in New York.
Right.
Yeah, well, that's cool. Right. That's great. That's great. All right, Roger, it's as always, it's good to hear from you on the air. We'll talk like we always do. The best of luck with the book.
Thank you, Mike, and I hope that it goes through enough editions that Molly can read it someday.
I hope so, too. Well, I've got the copy you sent me. If it doesn't, I'll just keep it for her.
Yeah.
All right?
That's right.
All right. Thanks, Roger.
Thanks, Mike. Thank
all right,
you very
take
much.
Care. Bye-bye. Take care. All right. The Naked Truth About Sex, Dr. Roger Libby. And again, if you got a teenager, you got a preteen, a kid coming up, I'm telling you, okay, this book really is, it's not a how-to, although there's some of that's in there, but it tells you, it tells your child how to handle this tremendous issue that that comes up with kids, you know, when they hit, 12, 13, 14, whatever it is now. Stick around. When we come back, Greg Palast. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Air America.
I'm just sitting here waiting for you. Come on home and turn.
You're listening to the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Are you losing your hair? Fight back with Avacor. Now with Boost, which gives you visibly thicker hair with a first application.
I'm 20 years old and I've been losing my hair for 3 years. I started using Avacor and my hair stopped falling out. It's working.
Well, I'm 72 years old and I can tell you honestly, I have a fuller, healthier head of hair now than I did when I was 18 years old. Avacor really worked.
Whether you're 20, 72, or any age in between, Avacor works. And Avacor with Boost will improve your hair's appearance the same day you receive your order. Call now and you can get 3 months of Avacor free with your order, plus a free gift from Avacor's hair care line of products. Call 1-800-884-6270. That's 1-800-884-6270. This is a limited time offer, so call right now. 1-800-884-6270. That's 1-800-884-6270.
Welcome back. It's about 20 past the hour. Greg Palast is not a sex expert, but he is an author. His latest book is Armed Madhouse, and it's the second book you need to buy tonight if you haven't already. Armed Madhouse. Greg, welcome to the program.
Hey, glad to be with you again, Mike.
Hey, let's talk about shakes on a plane, terror in the sky. What's that, what's the word from your friends at the BBC? Is this an imminent threat, or is this reported on Keith Olbermann's program tonight, old news from March?
Well, it is an imminent threat. That is, the threat, though, is from Dick Cheney and George Bush. They're on a roll. I mean, they were threatened by the fact that there's an imminent threat that their poll numbers are down to about 35% approval rating, which is a little bit below than the number of people that think Elvis is still dancing around.
That's true, yeah.
And yeah, so there is an imminent threat, and you could see it in his statement that people like you, Mike,
yes,
are defeatists.
Oh, I know. I've always been a defeatist because I'm a Democrat.
You know, if we had only invaded Iraq, we wouldn't be threatened by terrorists like this.
That's true.
That's right. Remember?
Yeah.
This is going to scare them.
Yeah, yeah.
They said if we didn't fight him in Iraq, we were going to have to, fight him in Los Angeles. They've only made it to London.
The other day I was busy and Kathy said, you better look at this. And I look and 24 people busted or 19 or whatever it was. And I'm looking at this. I'm thinking, what in the hell is this now? How much of this is bat squeeze, Greg? You know the territory there. You know that community in London. God knows you spent enough time there. What's going on?
Well, what's going on? Yeah, I mean, look, people are angry. I'm not going to excuse, the berserker factor, though I don't want to offend terrorist Americans among your audience,
Yeah, right.
Okay, it's a lifestyle choice, I suppose.
I know. But, so for some it is, for sure. Yeah.
But, on the other hand, I mean, there really are berserkers. There are mullahs in Finsbury Park, parts of London, who just, are just like, really totally, berserker, bloodthirsty maniacs. Mm-hmm. But, on the other hand, they do that on Fridays for their sermons. And the rest of the week, they're nice little Middle England guys who like living the nice Middle England life with their little pot.
Well, that sounds like half the television preachers in this country, the Christians, who are begging for Armageddon so that Jesus will come and they can all rapture. What's the difference?
Yeah, well, I mean, the difference is the flavor. There are definitely crazies out there, and some of them, as we know, there was an attack last July 7th, and so it's not like there are no berserkers out there. But remember, they're doing, in my book Armed Madhouse, I have a section called Tony and George's Al-Qaeda Fix.
Uh-huh.
When there was the July 7th attack last year in London,
mm-hmm.
they ran out immediately and started saying, this is an Al-Qaeda-like attack. That's like mm-hmm. Italian-flavored or Italian-style or inspired by Al-Qaeda. Now, they work in the term Al-Qaeda just like they work in the term Iraq. Mm-hmm. Well, this ain't Al-Qaeda, okay? You've got a bunch of berserkers who are talking about, mixing urine bottles and Coca-Cola together and they're going to blow up airplanes, It is... There's a berserker element, and some of them can be dangerous, and some, look, if someone wants to die on a bus and take out a bunch of people with them, there's nothing you can do.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know what's wrong with the war on terror? Where are the terrorists? I mean, Al-Qaeda ain't there anymore. They're basically out of business, and has really nothing to do with George huffing and puffing and threatening to blow their cave down.
Mm-hmm.
So what we're seeing out of London, that unfortunately there is a tiny, teeny-weeny berserker element, yes.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not like, and by the way, they didn't say, oh, my God, Tony and George have invaded Iraq. We're getting together just to disband. We have to remember what is, in fact, if anything, what we're doing is that obviously we are enraging
mm-hmm.
A few people in the Muslim community and pushing them over the edge or, giving a wonderful excuse for this.
Well, it's common knowledge here now, or it should be. We've talked about this. It's been all over mainstream media. Bush and Blair knew about this a week ago tonight. They knew this was that the noose was tightening on this group, if this group is a real group. But in this country, Apparently, it's another Karl Rove operation or Dick Cheney operation. Okay, let's hold off until the Tuesday primary. Let's see what happens. And when they got their teeth kicked in the persona of Joe Lieberman, all of a sudden the next day, holy good God in heaven, here they come. Well, bar the door, Katie.
There's a twofer. Don't forget what's coming up in a couple weeks is the anniversary of the flooding of New Orleans. When we took the FEMA, the Federal Emergency Management Agency, which used to be basically the Hurricane and Earthquake Protection Service.
Yes.
That's basically what they were. Earthquake and hurricane protection. And we turned them into a war on terror operation so that when the hurricane came, of course, 2,000 bodies ended up floating in the streets. Let's not forget that. And so now, so they're about to be banged and slammed. Bush and his little, Mr. Chertoff, okay,
mm-hmm.
And that little geek, what they decided to do was to now make him look like he's doing his little Giuliani hero number. You know,
Chertoff
has got him. He's got him. He's put on that badge. He put on that serious look. First of all, this is the bozo, let's remember, that until they made this announcement, we were at low alert levels, okay?
Mm-hmm.
That's how brilliant these guys are, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And by the way, can you name another country that actually announces on what days we're at high and low alert? In other words, we announce what days, and you go to the FEMA website, and it will tell you Homeland Security. It will tell you what we don't do on days and
It's insane.
I mean, Al-Qaeda actually can, go to site and say, no, not today, Osama. It's a red day. We'll wait for orange.
You know, Greg, based on that, every day in this country is a red alert day because nothing is being guarded. Nothing. No chemical plants. No nuclear plants. Not the ports. Not the containers coming in. Nothing. So it's always a red day.
That would be expensive. See, so they have you take off your shoes at the airport. All I can say is, Mike, is that I'm really glad that the shoe bomber didn't have Semtex in his underpants because it would just be hellacious at the security check. So they do this pretend stuff, but like you say, I mean, I don't want to give people ideas, but frankly, you got chemical cars moving under bridges. And you could do a lot more damage.
But everybody knows this. Everybody knows this. All you have to do is go on, I don't know, one of a thousand, 10,000 websites to find out schedules of what's being shipped around this country, what's not protected in this country, and then these schmucks say, take off your shoes and give us your, what happens if they bring Grandpa on an airplane now and he's in a wheelchair and he's got a urine bag? What? You understand? Can you hold on a minute?
I got you.
All right. We'll come back after the break. Stay with us. We're talking with Greg Palast, and I'm starting to get agitated. Stick around. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Air America.
Hey, yo, the air's still stale. The air's back. I got my old earth wearing a mask. Gloves to get a mail. I know a older guy that lost 12 post deeps on 911. This is serious biz. My time, Bush is done. You won't know what time it is. If it's war time or jail time, time for promises. The time to figure out where the enemy is. The same devils that you used to love to hate. They got you so gassed and shook now. You scared to debate. The same ones that traded books for guns, smuggled drugs for funds, and had fun.
This is the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Who's there?
Opportunity.
Opportunity who?
Opportunity knocking.
What for?
Your chance to win.
Win what?
Sony stuff.
Who's with you?
Sony card.
Sony card who?
Sony card weekly cash-in.
Cash-in? How much?
A $500 Sony card credit or a $599 Sony-style gift card every week.
That's a lot of dough.
Good for a lot of entertainment.
Like movies and music? A digital camera?
Go for it.
But how?
Every week, three lucky card members could win.
Sounds like a great opportunity.
But you gotta act fast.
Where do I apply?
Online.
What's the address?
Go to SonyCardWin.com/winner.
Sounds easy.
It is. It's SonyCard. Earning points towards Sony rewards with every use. Go to SonyCardWin.com/winner. No purchase necessary. Offer ends 12/31/06. Void where prohibited. Open only to U.S. residents 18 or older as of date of entry. Odds of winning depend on number of entries. For official rules and alternative method of entry, go to SonyCardWin.com. Sponsored by Sony Electronics, Inc. And remember, life's more entertaining with SonyCard.
The point of commercials is, of course, to get you to do something. For example, we'd like you to go to Geico.com and get a free rate quote.
But if you're still not reaching for your mouse, at least do this for me. Call a friend who has GEICO and ask some questions. Can GEICO really save me that much money? Is their claim service as good as, well, they claim? Are they really available 24/7? Once you get your answers, we'll be right here.
Go to GEICO.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15%.
Real people are sharing their good news about Aleve.
My name is Art Bivens, and this is my story. I have a folk group called Cool Old Dudes.
As I was going over Kilgara Mountain.
I have arthritis in my fingers. It makes it very hard to press down on the strings. Our bass player said, man, you got to try some Aleve. Just to shut Eric up, I tried the Aleve, and he was right. I'm back in the game. I can play guitar again.
Real people, real stories, real good news. Share your good news at AleveGoodNews.com. Use as directed for minor arthritis pain.
We don't know whether he's in a cave with the door shut or a cave with the door open. We just don't know.
Yeah. We're talking with Greg Palast, whose latest book is Armed Madhouse. If you haven't read this one, shame on you. Go get it. You're going to I'm substituting for your good friend Randy Rhodes the last week in August, and you're going to be on the program, I think, on the 29th, which is the anniversary, if that's the right word, of the disaster in New Orleans.
Right, the disaster in New Orleans, which is a subsidiary of the disaster in Washington, and I'm not just being glib, man. We're going to talk about that, what really happened there.
Yeah, you're going to be in New Orleans that day. What's going on, Greg?
I may actually be back because I'll be filming beforehand, so I'll be ready for you. We've been doing a major investigation. I mean, one of the things, I'm not going to give away anything by telling you that, because in our madhouse, in the class war section, because flooding is just another way besides stealing elections or fake terror wars.
Sure.
When the levees broke, the Republicans ran out and said, see, government screws up. I mean, they kind of leave off the footnote, it's their government, right?
You're right.
But you can't trust government to do anything. You know, this should be, in fact, one guy, John Turney in the New York Times, is saying, you know, they should privatize it and turn over evacuation planning to Walmart. They know what to do. Well, actually, very few people know this, but they did just that, Mike. They sold off evacuation planning for New Orleans 2 years before the flood to cronies of Monsieur Bush, to a company whose entire evacuation planning experience for a hurricane was major donations to the Republican Party, and you'll love this one. To make it look good, they issued a press release, FEMA and this company, saying that they had running their team James Lee Witt, who is Bill Clinton's expert on hurricanes.
Right, right.
That by the way, Bush fired. He's Clinton's expert on hurricanes, but in fact, Witt said he didn't know who the hell these guys were.
Right. I remember. Yeah.
But now I found out something else. I've been trying to get the plan that failed that these guys came up with, and what I'm finding is that the plan ain't there. No one can find a copy of it. So I've been asking FEMA, is it wet or what happened to the plan?
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, these guys, and you have to understand, when, you know, this is another mission accomplished. When Louisiana, as you well know, being down nearby, was turning from a GOP state back into a Democratic state, you had a Democratic senator, Democratic governor, and the demographics were going such that this was going to be lead the South out of the Republican Party. But then that problem was washed away.
Yeah, wasn't it?
There's a 250,000 African Americans who are literally locked out of the city. They every single unit of public housing, even if it was dry as a bone, every single unit of public housing has been sealed up and surrounded by barbed wire.
You know, excuse me, Greg. That is, if not the main text of the story, it's a strong subtext. Is what happened to the black population that made New Orleans what it was, and all of a sudden the racial imbalance has
went from an 80% black city to a 40% black city,
right.
And it's very simple. They took every bit of poor people's housing and they said, "You get near your house, we will shoot you." Literally,
yeah.
Literally. And yet the white areas, if people want to come back, can come back. I mean, it is, but you know, when we use black and white, but it's really about class. I mean, it's, you know, it's the folk without the cash. And so now it's being turned into a gentrified, it's going to be a little cutesy poo tourist town with a fake French Quarter. And that's what it's going to be. But the main thing out of that is that it's going to save the Republican Party's behind, because that's 250,000 black folks. And it, by the way, one thing they're very careful with, people are not allowed to go back into their homes to get their IDs. And then they're going to have extra ID requirements for them to vote, but they're not allowed to get their IDs. They're literally not allowed back into any public housing unit to get family pictures, personal effects, anything, but especially their wallets and IDs or any of that.
I swear to God, if you were a fiction writer or there was a fiction writer who could sit down and come up with a race of people that looked normal but were just evil as hell, they couldn't improve on what Republicans are doing to white folk, black folk, immigrant folk. I don't give a damn who it is. It just never stops, Greg.
Well, you know, it's follow money, follow the oil. I mean,
you have to
remember that Louisiana is as much of an oil state as Iraq.
Yeah.
And you know, control of that's not a minor issue. We get it's the number one gas producing state with Kansas, believe it or not, in the United States. And it's all offshore, and the governor, the Democratic governor is saying, "How come the oil money in Florida goes to Florida, and Alaska goes to Alaskans, the Republicans there, but in Louisiana, we don't get any of the control over the oil, because you're not going to get control over the oil fields offshore of Louisiana, because obviously that's in the control of the Department of Exxon."
I got a couple people here on the phone. I don't know if they want to ask you, but let's bring them on anyway about this bombing threat.
Yeah.
Patrick is calling from Boston. Pat, I don't know if you wanted to talk about this with Greg, but
yeah.
bring it on.
Oh, yeah, certainly. I'll couch my comments in the sense that I listened to your interview with Webster Topley a week ago, Michael.
Uh-huh.
And have you read his book?
I have not yet read his book. I'm still finishing Greg's book, Our Madhouse.
Okay, I had read that. I'm actually in my second reading right now. And Topley, perhaps better than all of them, you know, really puts together how these things are carried out.
Don't forget, and nothing against Webster Tarpley, I think he's a great guy, but you got a man on here right now, Greg Palast, who does connect the dots in a real world way that folks like you and me can really understand, because this is about oil, isn't it, Greg?
Yes. I mean, you have to understand is that behind all this, you know, is the oil. Even Osama, remember, is from an oil family. You know, forget the caveman stuff.
Right, right.
That serves Bush's agenda that he's some type of berserker in a cave, and it serves Osama's, who is a billionaire with his own Gulfstream, his own dialysis machine. It serves his purpose as a man of the people, which he ain't. Okay, it's a gang war. It's a global gang war over oil resources, and there is a three-way race between the Iranian Shiites who want to create an extended oil caliphate, the Bin Laden who would like to create the Sunni oil caliphate, and of course the fundamentalist crusader in the White House who has his own oil agenda.
Mm-hmm.
And that is ultimately behind these moves. In fact, one of the reasons why Al-Qaeda as an organization has fallen apart is that they had two demands, and they are a victim of their success.
Right. Get out of Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, I mean, the success is number one. They told George Bush, one of the reasons why we are vulnerable to attack is you should never, ever bargain with terrorists. And George Bush, 2 days before he landed on the aircraft carrier Abe Lincoln and announced mission accomplished in Iraq,
mm-hmm.
he whispered 2 days earlier, Rumsfeld, that we were pulling all our troops out of Saudi Arabia, which was Bin Laden's demand when they attacked the World Trade Center. He said, we want to remove the crusaders from the land of the two holy places. And that's weird speak for Saudi Arabia. Get your troops out of Saudi Arabia.
Sure.
And George Bush basically, you know, crawled in front of Osama bin Laden and said, whatever you want, Osama, you name it, you got it. And we haven't pulled our troops out of Okinawa, and World War II ended 70 years ago. Those people have been begging us to get troops out. Osama says, get out of Saudi Arabia, we gone.
I know.
And when you give in to a terrorist like that so easily, which is what Bush was quietly doing, and no one took him to task for it, you basically now encourage the guy to the next move.
Well, nobody in this country knew about it. How many people, Patrick, did you know we had pulled the troops out of Saudi Arabia?
Yeah, I was aware of that.
Okay, but I'll bet you the majority of Americans have no idea, first of all, that we had Air Force bases there to begin with, but secondly, that we had troops there, and third, that they're gone now. All right, Patrick, you wanted to ask about the London bombing, the threat. You want to know if it was a hoax or not, right?
Well, yeah, I mean,
This thing happened yesterday? Yeah. Is that what you're referring to? Or Wednesday?
Yeah, that is correct. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But what's your take on that, Greg?
Yeah, well, you know, and you explained, you know, I work with BBC that carries my reports out of London, where I've lived and worked. And
I know you talked about the berserkers there, and there are crazy people.
There are real berserkers, but see, what they want to do is they want to take a crew of berserkers and turn it into, again, this, you know, they keep saying inspired by Al-Qaeda, Al-Qaeda-like. You know, they want to make this into a major international terrorist cell. When what you have is a bunch of losers. You have to understand who these people are. When you look at their addresses, I mean, these guys, I mean, you know, yes, I mean, you know, if you want to create crazy explosives, they probably, first of all, when you're dealing with liquid explosives, you're basically going to blow your own head off is what's going to happen.
Right.
You cannot walk around. There's reasons why people do not use liquid explosive for any type of destructive or military purpose. I mean,
they're too,
you know,
volatile. You can't do it.
And yeah, so they have a crazy idea. They're going to mix it on the plane like a chemistry set. Obviously, this is amateurs of the worst order.
They're quick
losers. So, you know, so what they do is it's a hoax in the sense that they take a bunch of losers who don't know what they're doing, and they make it into, you know, son of Al-Qaeda.
Something that isn't. Hey, hold on a second, Greg.
Yeah.
Pat, thanks. I appreciate you checking in. We're going to take a quick. Can you stick around for another 10 minutes? Okay, we'll be right back. I'm Mike Malone on Air America.
Terrorist.
The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Are you losing your hair? Fight back with Avacor. Now with Boost, which gives you visibly thicker hair with a first application.
I'm 20 years old and I've been losing my hair for 3 years. I started using Avacor and my hair stopped falling out. It's working.
Well, I'm 72 years old and I can tell you honestly, I have a fuller, healthier head of hair now than I did when I was 18 years old. Avacor really worked.
Whether you're 20, 72, or any age in between, Avacor works. And Avacor with Boost will improve your hair's appearance the same day you receive your order. Call now and you can get 3 months of Avacor free with your order, plus a free gift from Avacor's hair care line of products. Call 1-800-884-6270. That's 1-800-884-6270. This is a limited time offer, so call right now. 1-800-884-6270. That's 1-800-884-6270.
We share a vision of two states, Israel and Palestine, living side by side in peace and in security.
Oh, God, you got to love this moron for his asinine, not love him, but the statements this guy makes, Greg, is just, they're just unbelievable.
Well, come on. Where can you get comic relief like that, you know?
Yeah, I know, but the fact that he's making people die,
yeah.
That's the part that's, you know, it's just a tad off-putting.
Well, you know, my friend Jello Biafra, the dead Kennedys, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Who really pushed the phrase Armada out on me. You know, he says, this is armed and dangerous clowns that have taken over the asylum here.
And
so just imagine, you'd feel better, though, even though they have, you know, like serious weaponry, you know, just imagine with the balloon shoes and the big red nose.
Oh, my God, that you could hide all...
feel a little bit better about it.
Yeah, but you could hide all kinds of weaponry inside those big shoes.
Yeah, exactly.
Good God. So what, I know you got to go, but what do you see as the next step in these unfortunate 24... people who were busted in London. What's going to happen to them?
Okay, well, what's going to happen to them is, you know, let me tell you, in Britain, it's dungeon time for these guys, just so you know. I mean, they do not have a Bill of Rights there. That's right. That's why we celebrate July 4th, because there is no such thing as rights in the mother of democracy, so I got bad news for you. What I'm really concerned about is what happens to the 240... plus million of us who are going to now be under new scrutiny, in which they're going to now erase another three amendments to the Constitution because they're going to say, see, they're still out there.
Yeah.
Now, no one, you know, none of them say, how come they're still out there after we invaded Iraq and supposedly scared them?
Well, that's the point. Yeah, that's the point. That's a question that's not being asked here.
But they're going to crank it up, and I am definitely afraid that this will be an excuse for, you know, Patriot Act 3, in which you know, we'll be broadcasting from the Mike Malloy Air America wing at Guantanamo.
Yeah, right. A very easy solution to this. I know you said, or somebody said, just make people fly naked. You know, that would work. But Greg, what's wrong with just as long as we're into this murderous, filthy game, why not just say to people, you cannot carry anything on an airplane and be done with it?
Yeah, well, I don't think we should fly anymore. I mean, the whole thing is it's creating, the idea is not safety. The idea is fear.
Right.
In other words, FDR said, we have nothing to fear but fear itself. And George Bush has said, we have nothing to sell you but fear itself. They have no other program left. They had 59 million pinheads crap in their pants and waddle to the polls, scared to death, saying, Georgie, save us.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's what's going on. So in other words, it's more of a fear machine. And so they'll just, you know, in fact, my kids were at a fun house last week that was called the Fear Factory. And I said, gee, it should have looked like the White House. It's the Fear Factory. You know, and so we're supposed to be afraid. And you know, look, a lot of nations, you know, look, we did have a terrorist attack before September 11th. We were hit in Oklahoma. 300 Americans died in a horrible homegrown terrorist attack. Bill Clinton didn't erase the Constitution. He put the lawyers on him and the cops.
Right.
These are crimes. Go get them.
Well, we had the World Trade Center was attacked, too,
during
Pappy Bush's reign, and we didn't declare war on India over that. And eventually, the guy who engineered that, I believe, Ramzi Youssef, is in jail, isn't he? Or
yeah.
No. Sheikh, who was it?
It was the Mad Mullah. I can't, you know, now I'm forgetting the celebrity terrorist names. You know,
they
fall off the hit parade now. You know, but and this is one of the problems. Is that look? The other thing was looking the other way, of course, which is that, you know, they still are not going after the big source of funding, which is out of Saudi Arabia, because that's also the big source of funding for the House of Bush.
For the House of Sure.
Yeah, the House of Saud is the outhouse is the House of Bush for the Saudi Arabians. And so if you want to cut off these guys, you know what you do? You take away their credit cards.
Yeah.
You know, Osama did not put the hijackings on his American Express. The money came out of Saudi Arabia. We know it. They know it. Cut it off. Bill Clinton, and I'm not in love with Clinton at all, but he did send Sandy Berger, his national security advisor, twice to Saudi Arabia. He was light on the Saudis until the attacks in Africa, in Nairobi, when we had two embassies blown up. He sent Sandy Berger there, and he said, tell your little princelets, king, to stop giving money to killers. We don't like it. Stop paying guys who are killing us. He sent two delegations. Bush came in. The delegation stopped. The pressure on Saudi Arabia stopped.
Well, the Bush business partners, it had to stop.
And remember Robert Oakley, who was advising W, he was coming in, said, and this is a quote, we have no problem with the Clinton foreign policy except for his fixation on getting Osama bin Laden.
Yeah.
That's a quote from Oakley back in 2000.
It's just mind-boggling. Greg, we're flat out of time here. You and I will be get together again on the air on the 29th.
You got it, brother.
So I'm certainly looking forward to that. And I mean, the circumstances are going to be kind of weird with you if you're in New Orleans. But it'll be that's what we're going to talk about, I guess. That'll be the 1 year commemoration. I hate the word anniversary for a tragedy.
Yeah. We'll open up the floodgates on the truth. And in the meantime, people go to www.gregpalace.com. We'll have the follow-up stories here.
That sounds good. Our Madhouse is the book, folks. If you haven't bought it, buy it. If you're in the process of reading it like I am, just keep going. Thanks, Greg.
You're the best.
We'll talk to you again. Greg Palace. We're going to take a break. We'll be back. Your phone calls when we come back. So jump in the queue, all right? We have 7 open lines. The number here is 866-303-2270. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Air America.
On Air America Radio.
What's more important to you, a better looking vacuum or a cleaner, healthier home? Hi, I'm David Orrick. My 8-pound Orrick XL may not win any beauty contest, but it wins rave reviews from owners of those dust-spewing bagless clunkers. Once they try an Orrick XL, they love it. Call 1-800-989-4200. 1-800-989-4200 and take a risk-free trial of the vacuum that won't send a cloud of dust in your face.
The point of commercials is, of course, to get you to do something. For example, we'd like you to go to geico.com and get a free rate quote. But if you're still not reaching for your mouse, at least do this for me. Call a friend who has Geico and ask some questions. Can Geico really save me that much money? Is their claim service as good as, well, they claim? Are they really available 24/7? Once you get your answers, we'll be right here.
Go to geico.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15%.
America Radio News, I'm Jeff Weiser. The United Nations Security Council has unanimously passed a resolution to end a month of fighting between Israel and Hezbollah militants in Lebanon. Speaking to the council, Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice says the resolution gives the Middle East a chance to build a new foundation for a lasting peace.
It is now the solemn responsibility of the international community to help the people of Lebanon and the people of Israel to transform this tragedy into opportunity.
The resolution calls for a full cessation of hostilities. After the fighting stops, Israel is to begin withdrawing its forces from southern Lebanon, and Hezbollah is to pull back from the region to 13 miles from the Israeli border. The resolution also authorizes a 15,000-member peacekeeping force. Lebanon is expected to approve the resolution today, and it's believed Israel will do the same Sunday. U.S. Homeland Security Secretary Michael Chertoff says there is no evidence that domestic terror suspects were linked to a plot to blow up U.S.-bound airliners. In a news conference at Washington's Reagan National Airport, Chertoff cited no evidence of a plot to initiate attacks within the U.S. British authorities have arrested numerous suspects for allegedly plotting to blow up U.S.-bound airliners with liquid explosives. Chertoff cited Thursday's air security upgrades and stressed the need for flexibility and quickness.
In a remarkably short period of time, less than 6 to 8 hours, we were able to implement and execute very significant changes internationally.
Chertoff is pleased with airport security upgrades. After touring Reagan National, Chertoff said, "Flying is safe." Consumer spending was apparently stronger than expected during July, with the government reporting a 1.4% increase in retail sales. That's the largest monthly jump since the beginning of the year. 9 children and 2 adults aboard a school bus in Manatee County, Florida, suffered mostly minor injuries when it collided with a milk truck Friday morning. But local police say it could have been far worse, but a quick-thinking 11-year-old girl may well have prevented that. The crash left the bus driver unconscious, with the bus itself still rolling down the road. The girl jumped behind the wheel and brought the bus to a stop. You're listening to Air America Radio News. I'm Jeff Weiser.
Thank you. the music to the story in your eyes. It's been shining down upon you now. Feel alive.
Welcome back. Seven past the hour. Let's go right back to your. Before we go right back to your phone calls, I just want to mention again that come September 1st, this program will be back on the air in New York City as Air America moves its entire operation to WWRL radio station 1600 on the dial in New York City. Everything else, you know, remains the same. We'll be on the same time. In New York, 10 to midnight, the rest of the country, 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. Eastern. Just like when we were on WLIB, the last hour is lopped off. We have agreed to re-sign with Air America for another couple of years. So the questions that were popping up, and they were popping up, have been settled. I hope that my colleague, Sam Cedar, also will continue to be with this network, because I think what Sam does is excellent talk radio. In addition to the fact he's a guy, you know, he's a good guy. So there have been some, you know, some you've heard it. I've talked about it on this program obliquely, but talked about it nonetheless, about what direction we were going to go with this network, and it turns out the direction is straightforward. So that's good news for Kathy and me. It's good news for people who believe in talk radio that is not this jerk-ass right-wing nonsense that infests the airwaves. I'll wait to see how the right-wing geeks spin this. The fact that Air America's moving, the fact that Randy recently signed a 4-year contract, it looks like I'm going to sign a 2-year contract. I don't know what they're going to offer Sam, but you don't do that sort of thing if you're working for a network that's about to go down the tubes. So to all you right-wingers out there who have just been gripping your crotches and waiting for Air America to die, I have news for you, suckers. It's not going to happen, okay? So go find something else to get naked and play with yourselves about. But the death of Air America is not an issue that you're going to be able to get off on, okay? And you know who you are, not just the right-wingers in media, in radio and television, but these grungy little bloggers who have nothing to do but, like I say, get naked and sit in the dark and listen to Air America programs and play with themselves. They're freaks. They're just absolute freaks. So bad news, bubla. The network goes on and the programming goes on. So put that in your smoking pipe, it, you little freaks. All right, back to phone calls. Having discharged that bit of vitriol, back to the phones. Matthew is calling from Huntington, West Virginia. Matthew, welcome to the program.
How you doing, Mike?
I'm doing all right, sir. How are you?
Not too good.
What's the matter?
Well, I'm just sick and tired of all this nonsense going on in this country. I'm mid-20s. I live here in West Virginia. It's full of redneck Republican idiots. And it's got a lot of people that are of my persuasion. I try to listen to your show and get on the internet and do my research and find the truth, but it seems like nobody wants to hear it. And I'm sad to say this, but I mean, I love your show, but should you be on national television, like a head anchor or something?
I've got a face for radio, pal.
Well, I know this, but you see these guys on television, and they just want to tell you everything the government wants you to.
Well, that's true. I don't know. Maybe the day will come when there's a television network geared towards the sort of programming that say, Keith Olbermann does on MSNBC. He's about the only one out there anymore. But here in West Virginia, do you know Bob Kincaid? You ever heard of HeadOnRadio.com?
No.
You haven't? Well, he broadcasts from West Virginia. You can listen to his shows and some other shows just by going, just go to Head On, like a head-on collision.
Yeah. You know,
HeadOnRadio.com. And he's a fellow Mountaineer, and I think you would enjoy his program. I'm not saying don't listen to Air America. I want you to listen to Air America, but I'm just saying Bob lives in West Virginia, and he was on the air there, but now he works for this network, this growing network, Head On Radio, like Head On Collision, headonradio.com.
Right.
So check him out. His name's Bob Kincaid.
I'll definitely do that.
Yeah, because and the reason I bring it up is because, you know, like you said, you live someplace where you feel like you're the only one with any integrity, surrounded by these right wing freaks, and Bob's right there, so you might want to check.
What I'm afraid of is I have a 4-year-old daughter,
mm-hmm.
and I'm trying to raise her up right, and I can't stand the fact of knowing that she's going to have to grow up in all this madness, and I'm wondering when somebody or some people, or the entire country for that matter, is going to stand up for itself and say that we're tired of this. I mean, TV and radio is only going to do so much until we actually stand up and do something. You know, I mean, how long are we going to have to wait until a legitimate politician comes along and actually does the right thing? I mean, the world could be over by that point.
Well, I share your concern. I've got a 2-year-old daughter. I also have a 4-year-old and a 6-year-old granddaughter and grandson. So I've got little kids in my family too, and I know exactly what you're talking about this fear, about what your daughter is going to have to deal with. It's just going to be. I'm not trying to get weird on here, but it's going to be up to you, just like it's up to me with my 2-year-old, to raise these kids up strong, and to make sure that there's no equivocation. You know, in a different generation, maybe when you were a kid, certainly when I was a kid. You didn't have to sit down with your child, at least my parents or grandparents never did, and try to explain to me the things that you and I now have to explain to our little children. Do you understand what I mean by that?
Yeah.
We've got stuff to tell them. So you've got to raise your daughter up strong, and whatever you think you need to do to give her a shot at surviving in this, what Greg Palast calls an armed madhouse. If it's her education, if it's really inculcating in her a sense of justice.
Can I explain something to you?
Yeah, go ahead.
It's from the smallest level to the highest level. It just seems so tough. Like,
I know.
My daughter's 4. For the past year and a half, I've been trying to push this Head Start thing through. Because, I mean, I've had 2 years of college. I had to drop out for a while to support my family because the 3 hours of sleep I was getting and 2 jobs I was working, really couldn't do that much longer. But I've been trying to get her in a Head Start, and they lose the papers and this and that, and we'll have to wait another 6 months and so on and so forth, which I think that should be free for all kids.
Mm-hmm.
And then, I mean, you go up to, like, I want to see truth on the news. Well, I was a journalism major. And I remember quite clearly that I learned about a code of ethics that all journalists, you know, learn about in college.
Right.
I don't see anybody with any ethics. And if they had any ethics, the people that are running the show at these media companies aren't letting them say what they should be saying or what they probably like they should be saying.
Mm-hmm.
So the American people aren't finding out what they need to hear. And then the government is allowing all these media mergers to happen, which makes it even harder for people to get the truth out.
Mm-hmm.
You got the congressmen all over the country are dealing with losing their jobs for not signing off on defense spending bills because that brings jobs to their state. I mean, somebody has to stand up and bite the bullet and be willing to lose their job or something, or this country is going to go down the toilet. Awfully fast. I mean, that's just my opinion. I'm only 24 and so on and so forth, but, I mean, it's just becoming all too clear to me that this is just a bad situation.
Hey, hold on a second. Can you hold on a minute?
Yeah.
All right, hold on just a second, Matthew. We got to do a break here. We'll come back. This is Air America. I'm Mike Malloy.
And so become yourself. Because the past is just a goodbye. Teach your children well. Their fathers have
did slowly go by and feed them on your dreams. The one they fixed.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Hello?
Hello, hey, is this Rodrigo?
Yeah, this is him.
My man, listen, it's Josh.
Uh-huh.
The new owner of your Jetta, man, your old GLI 2004 you traded in, I bought it in October last year.
Right?
Dude, it's such a great car.
Wait a minute. That red 2004?
Yeah, dude, it's awesome.
Uh-huh.
Is this weird that I'm calling you?
No, I'm working right now.
It's just when I'm driving around in this car, I feel like we're connected.
Okay.
You love the Jetta, now I love the Jetta. It's just like we're a family. We should hang out. You and me and the Jetta? How about I give you my number, you ring me when it's good? Do you have an email?
Volkswagen owners really love their cars, but sometimes they have to let them go. Then we pass them on to you. Certified pre-loved Volkswagens featuring the 112-point inspection. Come take a joyride today.
Well, I'm in there somewhere. 21 past the hour. We're talking with Matthew in Huntington, West Virginia, who's kind of freaked out tonight. I guess that's the right way to put it, right?
Yeah, definitely.
You're married, you're working, you have a four-year-old?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
I'm unemployed right now. I just got laid off from a cabinet-making job. I'm trying to find another job. Maybe you give me a job, Mike.
Well, if I lived in Huntington, I would. That's a pretty skilled job, a cabinet maker. Surely to God you'll be able to find work, right?
Well, West Virginia, not a lot of jobs around here.
Does your wife?
It's been about 2 months. I've put applications and resumes out all over the place.
Does your spouse work?
She is getting ready to enroll in college.
All right, so both of you
have... She wants to become a forensic scientist.
Well, good for her. You both apparently have a respect for education. You know what it takes to get ahead in career wise. You're making money. It's for the most part, it's tied to education, isn't it? It still is, I think, isn't it?
Oh yeah, well definitely.
Yeah. Do you guys have a plan to survive through the hard times here?
We can work to get through college and go to night classes and finish up my bachelor's in journalism.
Mm-hmm.
And then maybe become head of some kind of media company and lock myself in the place and tell people how it is, you know.
Hopefully
I won't get bombed or something.
Just take over.
Yeah.
All right. Well, listen. Do me a favor. I got to move on now, Matthew. But will you check in with the program every once in a while? I'd like to hear how you and your wife and your daughter are doing. Okay.
Certainly, sir.
All right.
Nice talking to you, Mike.
Well, my pleasure. Take care. I wish I had solutions, but damn, man, I don't have solutions for me, much less for anybody else. I'm sure you understand what I'm saying.
Oh yeah, and keep on doing what you're doing, man.
All right. Thanks, Matthew. I appreciate it. Take care. Take care. Phil is calling from San Diego. Phil, welcome to the program.
Hey, good evening, Mike.
Hey, Phil.
Man, it was a pleasure to listen to Matthew. 20 years from now, he would be the perfect president because he would make the best cabinet being a cabinet maker instead of the clown we got in the White House. You know?
I hear that. Go Matthew. Go Matthew. All right, what's up, Phil?
Okay. What I was going to get to is basically it was so neat having Greg Palast on that you were able to get his take on this whole phony baloney thing that happened on Wednesday over in England.
What's your take? You don't think it was legit, obviously.
Well, I just think I remember the day after Joe Lieberman went down the tubes that the RNC was going to promised that they would help him, and I wouldn't doubt that this is like the beginning of Karl Rove's handiwork, that basically he wants people who don't support his jaded point of view, well, we're going to make you as uncomfortable as possible. You can't use deodorant, you can't brush your teeth, you can't wash your hair.
Well, at least not. Well, no, wait.
You know what I'm saying? It's like everybody ends up in the same boat.
Right. You can do all that stuff. You just can't do it. You just can't take the equipment with you on an airplane.
Trying to make people as uncomfortable.
Oh, I know. Isn't it hellish, too, when you think about it, Phil? And I find this particularly galling, that I live in a time when I'm told that there's a possible terrorist threat, and there are terrorists. I mean, there always have been. Jesus, back to Alexander the Great. But when I hear that there are terrorist threats out there, I have to stop and say, wait a second, is that real or is this another trick by these evil bastards in the White House? And I don't, I resent the fact that I just can't get information and trust the people in government giving it to me. You know what I'm saying?
For 5 years. Five years has gone by, and they finally decide to do something?
I know.
That's BS.
I know.
They're just so blatantly phony. I mean, they just don't have a conscience. And what you said to Greg earlier was right on. They're like alien beings. Like not even what their motivation is, just so pure evil. It's just...
It is, and I don't see how anybody could possibly not understand that after 6 years of these thugs, two wars, now three, the possibility of a couple more before they're run out of town. I don't know. It's unnerving. Hey, Phil, thanks. I got a boogie. Thanks a lot for checking in. I appreciate
it. Thanks, Mike.
We'll be back after the break. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Air America.
This is the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Hello?
Opportunity calling.
I thought you knocked.
That's a cliche.
What do you have?
An opportunity to win.
What's it called?
Sony Card Wish It Win It.
So first I wish?
And then you have a chance to win.
Win what?
$10,000 worth of Sony Entertainment.
That's huge.
That's Sony Card Wish It Win It.
What do I do now?
Go to SonyCardWin.com/experience to create your personal wish list.
I wish for Sony Electronics, CDs, DVDs, and games.
Go now.
Can't wait.
There's a Sony Card winner each month.
So there's a chance?
That you'll be the one.
To wish and then win?
That's why it's called Wish It, Win It from Sony Card. The card that earns points towards Sony rewards with every use. Go to SonyCardWin.com/experience. No purchase necessary. Offer ends 12/31/06. Void where prohibited. Open only to U.S. residents 18 or older as of date of entry. Odds of winning depend on number of entries. For official rules and alternative method of entry, go to SonyCardWin.com. Sponsored by Sony Electronics, Inc. And remember, life's more entertaining with Sony Card.
Looking for a reason to try online dating? Match.com has 15 million of them, with our 15 million members. And now, here's one more.
You do want to make a good first impression. You do want to step up and put your best foot forward.
Dr. Phil is on Match.com. His insights inspire millions every day. For a limited time, Match.com will guarantee you'll find someone special within 6 months, or will give you 6 months free. Join Match.com today, the number one site for love.
Real people are sharing their good news about Aleve.
My name is Art Bivens, and this is my story. I have a folk group called Cool Old Dudes.
As I was going over Kilcara Mountain.
I have arthritis in my fingers. It makes it very hard to press down on the strings. Our bass player said, man, you got to try some Aleve. Just to shut Eric up, I tried the Aleve, and he was right. I'm back in the game. I can play guitar again.
Real people, real stories, real good news. Share your good news at AleveGoodNews.com. Use as directed for minor arthritis pain.
We'll be right back.
soothing bedtime lullaby. It's Mike Malloy.
Twenty-six before the hour. An email here from Stan in Idaho, and Stan raises an interesting question. He says, why aren't more people discussing the reasons behind why so much of the world is at odds with ours, Great Britain's, and Israel's policies? And he puts in parentheses after ours, W's, you know, Bush's. He goes on, and most importantly, what we can and should do to change the reasons behind the adverse reactions. All we are doing is masking the symptoms. Where else is this? Where else is this procedure used successfully to solve a problem? Well, nowhere. But the question Stan's raising here is very valid. What is it, other than aggressive fascist imperialism? What is it that the UK, the US, and Israel are doing? Is there anybody left in the world who doesn't, on one level or another, either hate, distrust, or want to eliminate the US, the UK, and Israel? Now, you know, somebody can make the argument, okay, well, Malloy, you've just divided the world into the two sections. The rest of the world are a bunch of thieving, pagan, murderous, whatever, aborigines, you know, whatever you want to call them. And the only civilized nations are the white English-speaking or near-white of United States, the United Kingdom, and Israel. And the rest of the world wants to devour us because we're successful and we buy houses and we love freedom. And we all know that that's bat squeeze. It's the policies of those three countries. And we all know this. But you and I are not in a position to do anything about it. Jesus. You'd think that rather than reinforce the idea that one mark of insanity is to keep doing the same thing over and over and over again and expecting a different result, that the U.S., the U.K., or Israel would all three, would put their wonderful, smart heads together and come up with something that said, okay, look, there's a better way to do this, since the fact is those three countries do control most of the flow of conflict on this planet. They have a tremendous influence on the flow of capital on this planet. Those three countries, U.S., U.K., and Israel, have the potential to do so much good for everyone else. I'm not discounting Germany and Norway and Spain. You know, I'm just saying these three countries are the ones that seem to be in the crosshairs of everybody else's sniper rifle. And why? It's a reaction to what these three countries are doing. I guess the question gets down to, you know, the Rodney King question. You know, why can't we just all get along? And, oh, God, remember how the right-wingers just snarled and drooled and chewed on that? Like, oh, you know, God, what a dumb thing to say. Jesus. So, Stan, I don't know, you know, I hear what you're saying. It makes a lot of sense, but... whatever. Back to your phone calls. Judy is calling from Durango, Colorado. Judy, welcome to the program.
Hi, Mike. How you doing?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
Well, none of us are really doing well, but we always say that.
Yeah, we
you
do.
Know, Mike, that young man that you were talking to in Virginia, God, that broke my heart.
West Virginia, Matthew? Yeah.
Yeah, Matthew. I mean, it's, you know, we had such dreams. I'm about your age, Mike. We had such a different world. We had so much to look forward to. I worry so much about these young kids and their kids, you know, my own kids and my grandkids. And, you know, it is so easy to just fall into despair, especially when you look at what's happening in our country, in this world right now. You know, this whole thing with the terror threats, I don't know if it's a good idea, but, you know, they don't move me at all. The minute I hear them, it's, you know, you almost giggle like, okay, whose backside are they covering now? This situation in Lebanon, I mean, I'm just sick I read everything I can get my hands on. I cry my heart out every night. You know, there is so much despair, and I wish we could offer Matt a better world, and we got to find a way to do it.
Well, yeah, you're right. And this is what I kind of go back to, though. My maternal grandparents could barely speak English. I don't think their education was beyond third or fourth grade. Their family was split up before the year 1900. My grandfather was sent here. I have he had a brother who was sent to South Africa, and he had a sister that was sent to South America to get them out of Italy. They went through hell. My mother, who is she's passed away now, but my mother, whose history is more contemporaneous with mine than my grandparents. Was born in 1915, right at the tail end of World War I, lived through the Spanish flu, so-called, went through the Depression, went through World War II, raised four kids, worked as a waitress. My mother worked as a waitress for 35 years until she finally went to work as an intake clerk for the Department of Welfare in Toledo, Ohio. Busted her soul and her spirit without ever really giving up, just to make ends meet. And I think about how that generation, my mother and my grandparents' generation, they were facing fascism, they were facing anarchy, they were facing the equivalent of terrorist attacks on the United States, and somehow they came through. So the only thing that I have to hang on to, I realize Bush is a murderous thug.
I know
what the Bush crime family is. I know that we have leaders scattered around the world who are just hell-bent on destroying everything. But I keep thinking, there's a part of me that keeps saying, look, the human spirit is stronger than, I'm not talking religion, I'm talking the human spirit is stronger than that. It's not going to be ground down. If the generation of our parents and grandparents weren't ground down, this one's not going to be either, because we will fight just like they did, and we will reclaim it. I believe that.
But Mike, you know what? We had something, or they had something, that we definitely don't have right now. They had leadership. And what we have for leadership in this country right now, I mean, it would be laughable if it wasn't so dangerous. And
well, you're right. I mean,
you know, we have absolutely got to get, I mean, these are evil monsters that are running this country and therefore running the world, because they have that kind of power. And I mean, look what our folks had. They had Roosevelt.
Yeah.
You know, they had somebody who really gave a damn about the American people.
Well, you're right. That you're right.
Could to give us a better life.
You're right there, but do you not believe? Because I do, kind of, that the times usually produce the kinds of leaders, whether they're political or spiritual or social, that we need. I mean, does that still apply? Do you think?
Yeah, and you know, I mean, many people say that was the case, but it was stolen from us, not just once, but twice. You know, I'm not saying that Gore or Kerry were gods, not by any means, but I do really, genuinely, absolutely, with my whole heart and soul, believe that if Gore had been elected, we would never have gone into Iraq, and we probably wouldn't have had a 9/11, because he wouldn't have wanted it to happen, and
yeah,
there was the answer.
Yeah, I agree with you
so
there.
So anyway, Mike, I know that you've got very little time, but I have to say this to you, because I literally have been sweating bullets over your contract and losing sleep over the thought of losing you. And
okay, well, we're home free, okay?
And we love you, and we're so grateful, okay?
All right, thanks, Judy. I appreciate it. You
have a good weekend.
Evening. All right, take care. I didn't know that. I didn't know people were upset about whether or not, you know. Oh, well. I appreciate it. And like I say, I just hope that the Air America has the sense to continue Sam Cedar if they need to find him a different time slot. There's one particular program on this network that I think Sam could do a much better job in the time slot. I'm not going to mention any names, but the initials are Jerry Springer. So that's just one person's opinion. And you know, if the Air America suits get pissed off at me for saying that, well, you know, they got a lot of leeway because I haven't signed that contract yet. But I hope Sam continues with this network Everybody, I think, with a couple of exceptions, were kind of in a limbo state here for a while, and that's expected. This network has been on for 2 years, 2.5 years. It's a startup network. It is fighting a death struggle with, when you stop and think, you listen to Limbaugh or Hannity or these right-wing monstrous murdering freaks, and you hear General Motors and Ford and McDonald's and all these big companies advertising, and sometimes I just want to just pop my eyeballs out, because these people are no more, the right-wingers are no more interested in providing anything even resembling debate or discussion or anything closely resembling the truth, and yet they're seen as a safe way to advertise your products rather than coming to a mainstream network or programming like you find here on Air America. The Limbaugh and Hannity and the rest of these are not mainstream. These are far-right Nazis. These are Nazis, absolute American Nazis. So it's been a real struggle, but Air America is going to make it. It will make it.
The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Hi, I'm David Orrick. 40 million Americans suffer from allergies, 17 million from asthma, 37 million from sinus infections. Here's the thought. Change the air you breathe. An Orrick Professional Air Purifier completely renews the air in an average-sized room every 10 minutes. Try it free for 90 days. Call 1-800-989-4200. That's 1-800-989-4200.
The point of commercials is, of course, to get you to do something. For example, we'd like you to go to Geico.com and get a free rate quote. But if you're still not reaching for your mouse, at least do this for me. Call a friend who has Geico and ask some questions. Can Geico really save me that much money? Is their claim service as good as, well, they claim? Are they really available 24/7? Once you get your answers, we'll be right here.
Go to Geico.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15%.
start spreading the news. I'm leaving today. I want to be a part of it.
It's 10 before the hour. Thanks to Justin Yuen and our resident rock star Jason Isaac and Tim MacArthur, all three who engineered the program in New York tonight. Thanks, guys. David Weissman answered your calls tonight. Thank you, David. Also, our remote crew, Chris in Minnesota, Mark Marshall, who handles our website, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org, Jim in Arkansas, our music bureau chief, Catherine Bays, the executive producer of this program. September 1st, we'll be back on the air in New York, along with everybody else at Air America on 1600 AM radio, WWRL. That's when the big change occurs. So we are very glad to hear that. And again, to the right-wingers who continue to wish and hope and pray for and salivate over the possibility of Air America dying, it's not going to happen. It just is not going to happen. So you people can just bite me, you know. It's just not going to happen. All right, back to you. Back to your phone calls. Francis in Milipitas, California. Hey, Francis.
Hello, Mike.
How are
you doing?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
I'm okay. Yeah, I'm sick of these, you know, right-wingers like Brian Maloney, Michelle Malkin. Yeah, they've been trash-talking, you know, the shutdown of Air America, and I agree, it's not going to happen.
No, it's not.
And, you know, they just, support their right-wing propaganda sites with saying Air America has low ratings. Air America has, you know, they fired another CEO or whatever, and it's just, you know, they're just not, you know, helping their own cause. I think, you know, these right-wing propagandists, they should stop with this.
Yeah, I think you're right, but it's never going to happen, right?
No, unfortunately, no.
All right, Francis, thanks. I appreciate it. We're running out of time. I want to try to squeeze a couple more in here. Zorro is calling from Nashville. Zorro, welcome to the program.
Well, it's Tennessee. It's not Nashville, but I'm not as entertaining as Reverend Sky. I'll just tell you right up front.
Oh, okay.
But Mr. Sinatra would probably be proud to know you're back on in his town.
Yeah, yeah, I hope.
Look, man, I called to beg, basically. Look, I heard what you said about your face for radio, and nobody's going to call the show that watches more political television than me. Dodgeball, Chris Matthews, C-SPAN, all of it. Okay, I've seen all of them. I watch them all the time. And I think how you come across sometimes is as important as what you have to say. For instance, I saw Randy Rhodes last night. She's one of the smartest people you could have on one of those things. But sometimes she comes across as somebody that won't quit talking and tries to own the conversation, and that's not good.
But that's why I love her.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sorry. That's why I love her. And I'll tell you why. No, I understand what you're saying. That does come across to a viewer as kind of irritating. But Randy will kick ass and take names. And Randy knows the same thing that I know and that everybody on liberal talk radio knows. These rat bastards will not allow you to get a word in edgewise.
Well, and if she I'm aware of my thing.
Right.
Is,
so good for Randy. All I'm saying is good for Randy.
I understand that sometimes that she would stop and let them say something else.
No, I don't think so, Zorro. I'm sorry, man. Look, these rat bastards have been talking 24/7. So if Randy gets invited on Larry King or whoever, whatever program she gets on, you know, if she asked for my advice, which she didn't, I would say, start talking, girl, and don't stop.
Yeah, I know. This is my point I want to say, though. Of all I've seen, I mean, I'm tired of seeing Flavia. I'm tired of seeing Ms. Brazil. I'm tired of seeing Paul Begala and the tall conservative lady. Listen, the two people that I've seen that come across best on all of it are Laura Flanders and you.
Well,
you may not realize it. I saw your appearance. You, I mean, this is who you were when you appeared on there. You were the guy who thought he had tickets to the Super Bowl, and when he got there, realized he was at the Iowa State Middle School Volleyball Girls Championship.
Yeah,
that's who you are. Show you on was the Jerry Springer Show of CNN.
Yeah.
If you were on Lou Dobbs or someplace where you would get respect, then you would come across. You come across as a brilliant professor-type guy. Now, you're from the left. You're intelligent. You're knowledgeable. You have a great
demeanor, and I'm not going to get somebody like that on television because those people are teaching at Harvard and Berkeley. But yet I get these blowhards like Powers and the like, and it's time for you, if you don't mind, before we go to thermonuclear war, to get up out of it and go to CNN, which happens to be in your town because God made it that way.
That's right.
Get on these things and carve some of these people to shreds. I had James Carville, and he's married to Satan's secretary, and you know I don't see him anymore. So if you don't mind, right. Mr. Malloy, will you please get on there?
All right, I would really
appreciate it.
All right, Zorro, thanks. That's my cousin Zorro from Nashville. Thanks, Zorro. I appreciate what you had to say. I hear what you're saying. I really do. But radio is my forte. I hate talk television now. I admire Randy for still being willing, excuse me, to walk into that rat's nest of thugs, liars, cheats, immoral half-wits, and make a stand and fight. I can't do it anymore.
There's one radio and television show I really wish you would go on, though, Mike.
Yeah, which one is that? Rita?
It'll come to me in a minute.
Yeah, right.
No, I did want to say this, that my favorite thing about Randy was when she kept getting on there. It seemed like every week she was on and they'd ask her questions. She'd say, well, what people really want to talk about are the nuclear tests that are going to happen.
That's right. That's right. Good for her. When you can get on those programs and not allow these evil bastards to control the conversation, good for her. And I saw that segment. It's somebody sent me the cut of Randy and Neil Bortz, this Nazi that works at WSB Radio, syndicated out of Atlanta. And he is a Nazi. He may claim to be a libertarian. He's not. He's an absolute Sieg Heil Nazi. And I think Randy did a number on him that he will long remember. Hey, thanks for participating in the program tonight. However you did that, I'll see you tomorrow. No, Monday. Thank God it's the weekend. I'll see you Monday night. Take care, okay? Watch your back. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Air America Radio. Oh, yeah. Have a great weekend, Kevin, Kenny, wherever you are.
Malloy on Air America Radio.
Will Israel ever see an end to violence? How will the war against Iraq's insurgents impact Israel? Will changes on the Supreme Court have any effect on the Jewish community? Is anti-Semitism in Europe on the rise? What can be done about it? For a look behind the headlines, read the Forward, the nation's Jewish newspaper. The Forward reveals the personalities, motivations, and histories that are fueling the news abroad. The Forward also provides an in-depth look at issues affecting us at home, with comprehensive reports on everything from politics and religion to culture and the arts. It even has its own matchmaking section for Jewish singles. Try 4 weeks free, then be billed $24.95 for another 26 issues. Not satisfied? Just write cancel on the bill and keep the first four issues free.
Call now, 800-641-2626 for the Forward. That's 800-641-2626.